Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We're certainly enjoying everyone singing.
Amen.
We would like to read some verses before our brothers speak tonight. But I just wanted to say that, you know, this seed is a life seed, right? The hymn that we just sang. And it's a kingdom seed. And everything that we heard through the Lord speaking is a seed planted in our heart. So hopefully everyone's heart is open and soft toward the Lord. How much the seed gets in depends on how much our heart is soft and open to the Lord.
Amen.
Pray that everyone will have an exercised spirit and will have an open heart for this life seed to come in. The first portion of the verses we'll read is Genesis 25, 29 to 34. Chapter 25, verses 29 to 34. Can you see up there? If not, hopefully those of you who have Bible can open to that and share with your neighbor. Otherwise, you can try to see. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 through 34. Okay. I think that's fine, brothers. I think we could just try to see it. Yeah, young people have good eyes. Not like mine. Okay. Let's read that together. And Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Let me swallow down some of the red stew that rest you there, for I am faint." Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, "First sell me your birthright." And Esau said, "I am now about to die. Of what use then is this birthright to me?" And Jacob said, "First swear to me." And he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew. And he ate and drank and rose up and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Amen. And the second portion is in Luke chapter 4. Verses 16 to 19. Oh, 18 and 19. Just 18 and 19. Luke chapter 4, just 18 and 19. Okay, ready? Go. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee." Let's read 19 again with our spirit. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee." Hallelujah. And then the next portion is Hebrew. Chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Chapter 12, 16 and 17. Okay, Let's go. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one meal gave up his own birthright. For you know that also afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, even though he sought it with tears. And then 12:23. And to the church of the firstborn, who had been enrolled in the heavens, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men who have been made perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. We're the church of the firstborn. Amen. Let's pray read Luke 4, 18 and 19. Luke 4, 18 and 19. Let's read it together again and then pray read. Amen. 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away in release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee. Amen. Let's come up twos and threes. Amen.
The Spirit.
Amen.
The Spirit.
The Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
It's upon me.
Amen.
It's upon me.
It's upon me.
Amen.
It's upon me.
It's upon me.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.
Amen. Because he has anointed me. Amen.
Because he has anointed me.
Amen.
Because he has anointed me.
Amen.
Because he has anointed me.
Amen.
He has anointed me.
To announce the gospel to the poor.
Amen. To announce the gospel to the poor.
Amen. 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 Amen.
He has sent me.
Amen.
He has sent me.
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 Amen.
He has sent me.
Amen.
He has sent me.
Amen. Amen.
To proclaim.
Yeah. Amen.
To proclaim.
Amen. Amen. Proclaim.
Proclaim.
Amen.
Proclaim.
Amen.
Release.
Amen. Proclaim release to the captives. Amen. 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 Amen.
Recovery of sight.
Amen.
Recovery of sight.
Recovery of sight.
Recovery of sight.
Amen.
Recovery of sight.
Amen.
Recovery of sight.
Recovery of sight. Amen.
Recovery of sight to the blind.
Amen.
Recovery of sight to the blind.
Amen.
Recovery of sight.
to the blind. Sight to the blind.
Amen.
Amen.
For the blind.
Amen.
Sight to the blind.
Amen. To send away in release.
Amen.
To send away
in
release. Amen.
To send away
in
release.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Release those who are oppressed.
Those who are oppressed.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Release those who are oppressed.
Amen. Amen.
To proclaim.
Amen.
To proclaim.
Amen. Amen.
To proclaim.
Amen.
To proclaim.
Amen.
The acceptable year.
Amen.
The acceptable year.
The acceptable year. Amen. What are we in? The acceptable year of the Lord.
Amen. Of the Lord.
Amen.
Of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The year of Jubilee.
Amen.
The year of Jubilee.
Amen.
The year of Jubilee. Let's stand up and proclaim 19 together. To proclaim
the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jubilee.
Okay. Let's get started. Last night we saw this matter of the most crucial point in the Bible. So just to quickly review, what is the most crucial point in the Bible? The most crucial revelation, the most crucial point, which shows you that this should also be the most crucial point in your life. So what is the most crucial point? Well, Jacob's dream is about and shows us the most crucial point, but what is the most crucial point? Can anyone stand up and help us? Somebody? The body of Christ, okay. Mm-hmm. But where do we see that in Jacob's dream? Or what's the crucial point? Very simple, don't.
God was God into man, and man into God.
Amen. Okay, good. What? Not bad. What else? Is that what you were going to say? Kevin, stand up. What were you going to say?
God's economy!
Okay, I like the enthusiasm. Yeah, okay, what else? God's salvation, yeah, that's a part of it. But what's the crucial point? Huh? God's dream, God's vision, but what about it? Yes, in the back, good. Uh-huh, very good. Man mingling with Christ. And how do we see that in the dream? Could you elaborate a little bit? a lot louder. Yeah, good. And what about the heavenly ladder? Very good. Okay, she got it. What's your name, sister? Rachel. Okay, Rachel got it. Good. So the dream, remember, you had this dusty, lonely man who found his rest on a pillow, and while he's sleeping, he sees this dream, right? A very simple dream of the heavens being connected to the earth through a ladder, showing us that the most crucial point is God being mingled with man, which produces the body, which saves us, and which is part of God's economy for, what is it that you said? For what? What did you guys say? I'm trying to connect. Yeah. Yeah, you. Yeah. So, to bring God into man, which is God's economy to produce the body, which saves us and mingles us with God. Amen?
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 Amen.
Okay, you got to work with me here, right? It's hard to speak to 200 young people. Okay, now. So this shows us that in your life, in everything that you do, we should always ask ourselves this question. See, when you go home, you'll be starting school soon. Don't worry about that bug. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. He'll survive. When you start school, the crucial point is, when you study, are you being mingled with God? Right? When you are driving, how many have their driver's license here? Dylan, you drive now, huh? Okay. Yeah. When you drive, when you're going places, during that drive, are you being mingled with God? Are you in the crucial point? You follow me? Of course, when you're in the meetings, are you in the crucial point? When you're alone in your room, are you in the crucial point? You follow me? Which is to be mingled with God. Why is this important? Because if you miss the crucial point, then you're missing the point of the entire Bible, right? The entire Bible can be summed up in this one point, that God came down to be mingled with us, okay, in our daily life, so we could have rest, and so God's purpose can be fulfilled. Okay, now this is important as we go on to this next topic tonight, where I would like to speak to us and talk to you about your rights, about your rights. You know, as young people, we all like to fight for our rights, so-called, right? Sometimes we tell mom and dad, I have a right to this thing. But those really aren't rights, those are privileges. But you know, by virtue of our birth, in America, we have certain rights. Am I right? No pun intended. But we have rights. Right? What are your rights? By being an American citizen, you have rights. Tonight, by being here, we're exercising a constitutional right. You know what that right is? Freedom of religion, right, which includes the right to assemble. You know, in some countries, they do not have this right. This right to gather together to worship as they please, such as China is a good example. Our people over there, you know, at the Summer School of Truth where I'm from, we had a brother come over from China to see what the Summer School of Truth is all about, because in China, for the most part, they've never had an SST. Could you imagine a country of 1 billion people, among which there's hundreds of thousands of our people that are there. And they all have to meet underground. Because if they're caught having a meeting like we're having, calling on the Lord, singing, something we take for granted, they can be imprisoned. They can be imprisoned. Actually, there's a family in my locality where the dad is imprisoned for what? For the crime of trying to bring some recovery versions into China. They caught him in customs and they arrested him. About 10 years ago, another brother from our locality also smuggled tried to smuggle some Bibles into China. And he was caught, and they sentenced him, get this, to the death penalty. To the death penalty. And fortunately, the President of the United States and his cabinet intervened on this brother's behalf. So they reduced his sentence from a death penalty to just about a 4 or 5 year penalty, where he had to stay in jail just for trying to carry Bibles into China. Could you imagine? So here we are in America. We've got Bibles on our shelves, on our phones, and we don't even read it. But there in China, people are willing to die for the right to read a Bible, or for the right of others to read a Bible, risking their life. Think about that. But here in America, we have a right to read our Bible. But over there, they don't have that right. So if they're caught, they can be in prison. So another right we have in America is what? The freedom of speech, right? To speak as we please, to speak as we please. So you can go up to your friends anytime, anywhere, any place, and you can tell them about Jesus. You can tell them about the Jubilee. And you may be mocked, but you won't be arrested. In China, if you do that, you can be arrested. So this brother who came to the Summer School of Truth, listen, he has a burden in his city, which I won't say, to start the Summer School of Truth next summer. And young people like you will risk being imprisoned to have a summer school of truth. How about that? So this brings me to a word that kind of underlies the burden of tonight's message, which is appreciation. Appreciation. Sometimes we're like kids in America, we're like kids in a wealthy house, and we don't appreciate what we have. We don't appreciate what we have until we lose it. Until sometimes it's too late. And a right we had by birth as mankind is what we call a birthright. A birthright is rights you have by your birth. So humanly, you have the right to freedom of speech, to freedom of religion, to freedom to gather together, right? That's a wonderful right. Many countries, they don't have that right. And really what that means is the right to enjoy the Lord. We have that right. And in fact, our birthright as human beings was to enjoy three things. Okay, write this down if you can. Or if you want to sleep, that's okay too. I understand you're tired. But if you're awake, that's fine. You can write down, number one, the right to a double portion of the land. Okay, double portion of the land. Number two, a right to be a priest. A right to be a priest. And number three, the right to be a king. The right to be a king. This is a wonderful, wonderful, special portion that by birth, all of mankind was entitled to. Was entitled to. This special portion meant that a double portion, right? It's like, you know, you go to In-N-Out, you can order a, not just one. You can do a double-double, or you can do more. You can do, right, a 4x4. Has anyone ever had a 4x4? Huh? 4x4. Pretty good, right? 4x4. Okay, good. In the back, 4x4. You know, Christ, you can have a 4x4 of Christ. Or with the junior hires. Remember this afternoon we were enjoying that verse? Much more! You have a right to much more of Christ than you have. So the double portion, the land, the good land, which was an elevated land, a rich land, full of water, full of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive trees, oil, flowing forth in waters, very rich, very lush. That was our right. And that signifies Christ with all of his unsearchable riches. And then number two, we had the right to be priests. Now by priests, I don't mean, you know, the Catholic priests with all that silly stuff that they wear and that smelly stuff they throw into the air and all that stuff, you know. That's not a priest. You know what a priest is? A priest is simply one who contacts and is filled with and is saturated with God. A priest is one who contacts God, saturated with God, filled with God. In other words, a priest, to be a priest, is to have the highest profession on earth. This is a great quote from Brother Lee. He says, the highest profession on earth is to spend time with God, to be infused with God, to glow with God, and to shine him forth to others. You got it? The highest profession on earth. You know what the highest profession on earth? It's not to be president. It's not to be CEO. It's not to be an NBA player. It's not to be a doctor, lawyer, or banker. The highest profession on earth is to be a priest who spends time with God, to be infused with God, to glow with God. You know, by being here this week, some of you, you're beginning to glow. Dylan, come here. See, this young brother, he's beginning to glow. Am I right?
Amen.
He's got a little glow to him, right? I don't mean that he's blushing. I mean, when you spend time with God, you begin to glow. And then when you go back to school or you see your friends, because you're glowing, you shine him forth to your friends. Your friends realize there's something different about you. There's something different. Thank you. You know, a few weeks ago, actually a couple months ago, my boss invited me to this, we were taking out a client for our company, which was Bank of America. You know, some bigwigs from Bank of America. And we went to this restaurant where each dish paid for by the company cost between $50 to $100. And the portions were like much smaller than a 4x4, you know, just a little piece of fish. And they on this very colorful plate with, you know, red and blue, you know, I don't know, sugar things, and a little piece of fish, $75. It's ridiculous. I'd rather have the 4x4, right, for $5, much better. Well, anyway, he said, James, you can come, but we're not, you know, I know you don't drink, but, you know, there's going to be wine, alcohol, good food, so if you want to come, you can come. But here's the thing. I never told my boss I don't drink. How did he know? How did he know? Huh? Because of the glow. The glow. You know what I mean? By glow, I don't mean that you're weird or that you're, you know, you're just a normal human being that doesn't drink. And your friends should realize that. Your friends should realize you're different. You're different. But in a good way. In a classy, dignified way. Girls, you don't have to be, you know, trailer trash. You don't have to be, you know what I mean? Low. Don't sell yourself low. We can be classy. We can be people with a touch of class. You know what I mean? And that class isn't yourself. It's the Lord in you. It's the Lord in you that you've been spending time with. You're a priest. When your friends ask you what you did this weekend, you should go home and tell them, Isaac, I spent time learning how to be a priest. I'm going to be a priest. Glowing with God. Well, maybe you don't have to say that. But I'm a priest, just spending time with, just learning to be in the highest profession on earth. And that's all you need to say. Then you walk away. Your friends will be like, huh? And then later you can tell them what it is to be a priest. And then number three, our right is to be a king. A king. King, here, Andrew, come here. Come here, Andrew. Your name's Andrew, right? Yeah. You know, if he plays his cards right, if you understand, you're looking at King Andrew. No joke.
In the Bible. I'm in the Bible.
In the coming age, this might be the king of
the Bible.
San Jose. Right here. For 1,000 years. You know that? The Bible tells us the overcomers, who are kings, will reign over anywhere, even multiple cities. You're destined to be a king.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If we don't despise our birthright. If we don't despise our birthright. So what we know, though, is mankind was tempted by the devil, became independent of God. We forsook our birthright, okay? We forsook our birthright. And so in the Old Testament, even when they went into the good land, they had this law. You know, every year they had to work on the land, to enjoy the land, to enjoy Christ, to be priests, to be kings, ruling and reigning over the enemies. But sometimes if God's people were a little passive, or if they were a little lazy in their enjoyment of Christ, they wouldn't have anything to eat. They didn't have a way to live. So you know what they would do? They would sell their land. They would sell their land, Caleb. With me? They would sell their land to other people. That is, they, in a sense, they would sell their enjoyment of Christ, in a sense, for a bowl of soup. And then, if they got really desperate, they would sell themselves. So then they were, like Jacob, they were poor, they were destitute. They lost their possessions. They lost themselves. And so basically, they sold themselves into slavery. And in a good sense, young people, we need to realize the whole world has sold their birthright. They've sold their land. They've sold their enjoyment of Christ. And they've sold themselves into slavery. All your friends, you may think you're missing out, but they're missing out. They're enslaved. They're under oppression. They're blind. And they've lost their birthright. Isn't that sad, James? They have a chance to be king. They could be him. They could be King Andrew, king of San Jose, king of San Francisco. Today, it's not that great of a city. I would apologize. You understand what I mean. But in that day, you could be a king ruling over San Francisco. Wouldn't that be awesome? Or the king of New York. Or the king of Palo Alto. Okay, so they sold themselves into slavery. They sold their land. They sold themselves into slavery. They had nothing left. So God instituted this law, and this is the verse we read, that every 50 years, wait a minute, is that right? Yeah, every 50 years would be the year of Jubilee. And so they would blow this ram horn, you know, da-da-da-da, and Jubilee means a time of shouting, a time of release, a time of freedom, where all the slaves would be set free. All the ones who sold their possessions, who sold their lives, who sold their person into slavery would be released, would be free, would be set free. oh, it was an exciting time. It was the year of Jubilee, where they would dance, they would shout, they would praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm released. Oh, I'm set free. I can go home again. It was awesome. Maybe I'm more excited about this than you. Oh, it was the year of Jubilee. Amen. This is something to shout about. Amen. To dance about.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
So you know what? All of us, you know who that was? That was us. We were enslaved. Come here, Andrew. He was enslaved to an evil slave master. And he lost, here, Isaac, come here. They were all slaves to him. Come here, slaves. You know, sometimes we make fun of the, oh, you're my slave. No, you're evil. And all your possessions. You have a wallet? Oh, they're already they're poor. Okay. All their possessions had to be sold. See? Shoes. Give me your shoes. Oh, those aren't very nice shoes. But anyway, okay, so all the shoes. See? Give me your shirt. Oh, wait. Do you have anything underneath there?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a nice name tag.
All their. Give me your tie. See? Here's the only time you can take off your tie. All their possessions were lost, were taken. And he had them working. You know, they had to work the land just to feed him and his family, so they'd work. Working. You know, in a sense, we were all enslaved to Satan. We were all enslaved, working, laboring. We lost our possessions.
You shall work every day.
And basically, through the entire Old Testament, all of the people were like this. So then the Lord Jesus came. See, the Lord came, and when he began his ministry, he stepped into the temple, and he said, give me the scroll, give me the scroll. I'm here today. And then he said, remember the verses we read and pray read? He said, the Spirit of the Lord. Here, give me more slaves. Here, come here. See, all these slaves here. They're, get on your knees. See, you're just working. You're slaving. So come on, Andrew. You're not a king yet. So the Lord came. The Lord came. And he issued this proclamation, right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In other words, I've been sent to the earth for a purpose. I've been anointed. I've been commissioned. To what? And what does it say? So he came to proclaim the year of Jubilee. He said, I'm here to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send away those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The year of Jubilee. And you know what that year of Jubilee is? That year of Jubilee is the entire New Testament age. It's not, in the Old Testament, it was just 1 year. In our time, the year of Jubilee is the entire New Testament. That means it's today. It's tonight. It's now. Right now, we can enjoy Jubilee. We can enjoy release. We can enjoy freedom. Not to do wild things, but to enjoy the Lord. To be a priest. To be a king. So brothers, how about it? You're in the year of Jubilee.
Amen.
You're free.
Amen.
You're released.
Free.
Enjoy your Jubilee right now. Shout something. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We're free.
Okay, not bad. You know, one time when I was in law school, I got to represent this client who was in prison. After law school. He had been arrested for something, and I figured out a way to set him free from prison. I don't recommend this for a living, but just for this one time, I figured out a way to get him out of jail, even though he was guilty. But, you know, it wasn't a huge crime, it was just a minor crime. But that's not what I do now, okay, so don't worry. But anyway, so he was in prison, okay, and I figured out a kind of a legal loophole to get him out. It wasn't so great, but anyway, so he had been in prison. And I tell you, when they opened those last gates and that last door, and he was set free, I tell you, he was much more excited than them. But you know, that's how we are. Many times we're in prison. That's why it's good to have times like this, right? But as young people, we need to fight for our birthright. We need to fight for our enjoyment of Christ. To stand against our passivity, to stand against our tiredness, to stand against the world which tries to imprison us, to oppress us, to depress us, to suppress us. Sometimes you just need to fight for your birthright. And fight for one another's birthright. So brothers, how about all of us right now, just for 15 seconds, let's just stand up and rock the house. Shouting. Corporately, we just declare to the devil, devil, shut up. You're defeated. I'm set free. Go ahead. Go.
Devil,
devil, you're defeated.
Devil, defeated. Oh. I'm set free.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. You know, so Watchman, he said, one time in your life, you should get to a point where you're just beside yourself in unfettered joy to the Lord. In a sense, that's the Jubilee. That's the Jubilee. So listen to this. As soon as you were born again, you were brought into the Jubilee. Whether you realize it or not, dear, hey, Caleb, why don't you come up here so you stop looking over at your sister, to Leah. Stop distracting your brother here. Sit here. See, she's distracting you from your birthright. Pay attention to me. Okay? Amen? All right, good. All right. So now, we need to fight for one another. Say, I'm fighting for you, brother. Amen? You okay? You with me? Amen? Okay. So, when you got reborn, when did you get saved?
May
7th. So about 3 months ago. Is that right?
Younger.
Okay, when you were younger. Okay. So a couple years ago, when he was younger, he got saved. As soon as you were saved, in the verse we read, I don't know if you noticed, it said, you became part of the church of the firstborn. Very meaningful, the church of the firstborn. Because the entire church is part of the corporate Christ, and it says that we're the first fruits of his creation, and therefore Christ is first in the new man. So therefore, as part of Christ, right, as part of the church, we're part of the firstborn, which means we have the birthright. You see? Just by being born again. See, by being born as a human, you had a right. But we lost it. But by being reborn into the church, as part of the church of the firstborn, you have the birthright. Which means you have a right to the full enjoyment of Christ. See, some of us, right now, we only have a limited enjoyment of Christ. Our enjoyment of Christ differs in degree. It differs in degree. So the borders of our land need to be enlarged. That is, our enjoyment of Christ needs to be enlarged. It needs to expand. What you've enjoyed of Christ in the Summer School of Truth here is just the beginning. When you go home, you can enjoy much more. You can, your borders can be enlarged. That was the prayer of Jabez. It's not that you can be rich. Well, actually it is. You can become richer and richer in Christ. You have a right to this. See, we need to know to exercise and claim our rights. Even when you go home tomorrow, maybe the enemy will condemn you. Oh, it was all a dream. It's over. It's not real. You know, at that time for me, you need to tell him, Satan, shut up. I have a right. You know, one time in the New Testament, Paul was traveling around. What's your name? Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter. You're the one that was scoring on the baskets. And they tied him to a post, and they were about to beat him for preaching the gospel. You know that? You know that story? Yes. And you know what he said? He said, I'm a Roman citizen. You're not allowed to beat me without a fair trial. And right away when he said that, they were afraid. Because if you beat a Roman citizen without a trial, you could be put to death back then. You know, sometimes Satan will tie us to our post. And he wants to. So you have to claim your rights. See, maybe you did fail. Maybe you, when you go home, you'll sin. And you confess that sin. But still, Satan is condemning you. Why'd you do that? Caleb, why were you so mean to your sister? Why were you so mean to your dad? You're no good. He's flogging you. He's beating you. At that time, you need to claim your right. One of the rights in the New Testament is, having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus. So when the enemy condemns you, claim your right. Tell him, I don't have to listen to you. I have the blood. I claim my rights. Thank you. Or like that song we sang, right? Let us therefore come forward, for we do not have a da-da-da-da. Right? How does it go? For we do not have. With the things of our weakness, okay, here it is. With boldness to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace for time. So these Hebrew believers, see, they were Jews that got saved, and they were beginning to go back to their old religion. So Paul was telling them many times, he said, don't shrink back. Don't give up. Come forward. That throne is not a throne of judgment anymore. It's a throne of grace. At any time, you can come forward. See, even when you go back, anytime, come forward. There on the throne of grace is a merciful and faithful high priest waiting for you to give you mercy, to give you grace for your timely need, for your timely help. This is your right. Don't give up your rights. Don't give up your birthright to enjoy the Lord and to be a high priest. Not a high priest, a priest. Spending time with the Lord and being a king. You're a king. All right, so now we need to just talk about just a little bit of a sober word between two sets of brothers, right? Jacob on one side, Esau on another. Joseph on one side, Reuben on another. All right, so if you're making a little chart, you have Jacob on this side. You might say Jacob treasure. On the other side, you may say Esau despised. right? Jacob treasured his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. Jacob fought for his birthright. Esau sold his birthright. So in the verse we read, it says that Esau, for one bowl of soup, he basically, at a certain point, he said, what good is the birthright to me? Just give me one thing, this bowl of soup. And he sold everything for that. So later it says, he despised. By despised, it means he took it for granted. He took it for granted. He took it, he devalued it. He didn't appreciate it. So to him, it was cheap. It wasn't worth even a bowl of soup. So he sold it. He despised it. He despised it. And so Paul in Hebrews, again speaking to the Hebrews, points out that Esau was profane. He was profane. He uses this word profane. He was a profane person. And what that means is that if you read his history, he was very physical. He was very active. He was a hunter. And he was into physical things. And in the footnote there, it points out that to us what that means is we as Christians might also despise our birthright by being world-loving and world-seeking Christians. World-loving, world-seeking Christians who spend our meals seeking and loving the world. Seeking and loving the world. And the warning there is, at a certain point, even if we repent later in our life, it may be too late. Okay? So Jacob treasured, Jacob fought, Jacob valued. Esau despised, right? He sold, and he was a profane person with respect to his birthright. Now, let me ask, how about us? You see? If we're world-loving, world-seeking, church kids, you see, eventually we can despise that to be a world-loving, world-seeking Christian is to despise our birthright. It's to devalue what we see. And that's why our dream is so important. If our eyes are just open to the things of the world, but we don't have insight to see through the things of the world to what we have, we might spend our days profaning and despising our birthright and ultimately losing our enjoyment of Christ, losing our priesthood, and losing our kingship. So then, in the next age, rather than being rewarded, being kings, being priests, and entering into this 1,000-year wedding feast, we might miss the enjoyment of the kingdom, right? This is a very sober warning to all of us. Okay, so that's the first set. Now, the second set of brothers was Joseph and Reuben. Remember, these were, one was the oldest of Jacob's 12 boys, 12 sons. Joseph was what number? Do you remember? He was not 12. He was 11. Number 12 was who? Benjamin, right? Joseph was number 11. He was the favorite of dad. Reuben was the firstborn. So Reuben, by birth, had the right to the birthright. And there's a verse that says, Reuben, you were preeminent. You were ebullient as water. You had the right. There's a verse somewhere that says that, to the birthright. But if you read the book of Genesis, you can read that at a certain point, Reuben slept with his stepmom. and committed, defiled his father's bed. He committed fornication, in a sense, with his mother or one of his stepmothers. In contrast to that, remember, you have Joseph, who was sold by his brothers. And was in the house of Potiphar, captain of the guard of Pharaoh, a very high-ranking official, probably very wealthy, probably a very nice house. Joseph distinguished himself, and the master put Joseph in charge of his entire house. In a sense, he was a slave, but in another sense, he was a king. He was in the he was really in the reality of the birthright, even though he didn't have it. He was in charge of the king. So, meanwhile, Joseph was very young. He was 17 when he was sold away. He was a young man at that time in his young 20s. And Potiphar's wife began coming on to him. Coming on to him. She was probably older than him, and probably, brothers, she was probably very attractive, very good looking. And so, Joseph refused her advances. He refused her advances. Until one day, they were alone in the house. You know the story, right? And what did she do? While they were alone in the house, she grabbed him. She grabbed him and said, "Lie with me. Lie with me." So here you have this young man, nobody's home. Nobody will know. Joseph said, "Your husband has put me in charge and given me everything in the house except you." But she still insisted, "Lie with me." So what did he do? He fled. He ran, leaving his coat of many colors in her hands. So she obviously had his cloak. He left. He fled. Quite a contrast, right? One defiles his father's bed, that's Reuben. The other flees fornication. Even though, listen, he could have gotten away with it. That's the real test. When you can get away with it, and you flee. You fled. Understand? Fled. And what happened next? Then she lied. She lied. And said, basically, he tried to rape me. He tried to rape me, in a sense, right? He tried to rape me. And based on that false accusation, he was imprisoned. He was imprisoned. Falsely accused of rape, in a sense, right? But because of his stand, because of his stand. So in your chart, you might say, with Joseph, we see purity. We see purity. With Reuben, we see defilement. Defilement. With Joseph, the second word there is a stand. He stood. He took a stand. A stand. He knew his proper place. Reuben indulged. With Reuben, we see the indulgement of lust. Okay? And so because of that, when Jacob was older, when he was blessing his sons, he had to tell Reuben, "Reuben, you've lost the birthright. You've lost it." And eventually, the double portion of the land was given to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph got the double portion because of his purity and because of his stand. Well, dear young people, just a brief word of righteousness. We need to realize, we live in an age of fornication, where fornication with the opposite sex or even with the same sex is populated, popular, and glorified in your generation. And now it's legalized, right? It's the so-called alternative lifestyles. And in fact, now it is cool. It's hip to be gay, right? To be lesbian and to live a lifestyle of sodomy, of fornication. And all of you are growing up in this age, this age. This is truly an age of Sodom. Brother Lee called this an age of Sodom. It was funny, Brother Jim was telling me this at lunch today. Back in the 70s, our dear Brother Lee said something to the effect that they're going to try to legalize this kind of thing, this kind of lifestyle. Our brother had the foresight nearly 40 to 50 years ago that this would happen. And today it's happening, right? Even the U.S. Supreme Court has legalized this kind of lifestyle. Well, you may say, oh, you're homophobic. Right? That's what the world would say. You're homophobic. No, we're not homophobic. We love all the sinners. We're sinners. None of us is above anyone. But we need in our heart, like Joseph, to be clear and to take a stand of where we are. Not because necessarily just because it's the right thing to do, but because of our birthright. Because of our birthright. You know, in the church, you know, we're not against relationships in the proper time. But dear saints, if you're young and you're involved in a relationship, you need to realize that leads very quickly to a lifestyle of fornication. That's why, you know, even though you're growing physically, the Lord has someone for you, right? The Lord has the best for you. You have to believe. God's heart is good. God is very good at being God. And he knows who is best for you in the proper time. If you don't mess it up. You don't mess it up. But what's very sad is that you could fall into this thing and lose your birthright. Lose your birthright. Just for one meal. One meal. You understand? One meal. Now, I know when I say this, some may ask, well, what if I've already fallen? Well, we don't know, but the Lord could still have mercy on you, that your birthright could be recovered. It could be restored. You know, there are cases in the Bible of certain ones who were caught in adultery. Even one in particular, Rahab, was a prostitute, but she repented and was in the line of Christ. So, but still, for those of us, for those of you who are facing this, we shouldn't be naive to think that, well, our friends are doing it, it's in the movie, so it must be right. But there's a price. There is a price. And that price could be the full enjoyment of Christ in the next age. And the loss of the enjoyment of Christ in this age. And what a misery it would be to be those who live a life in this age without Christ. Like that famous song says, if I gained the world, but lost the enjoyment of my Savior. What is life worth living, even for a day, without Him? You know, the Lord loves you so much, dear young people. He loves you so much. And He wants to have a relationship, a real precious love relationship with each and every one of us. As our husband, as our husband. That's why it's so precious in your teenage years to flee youthful lusts and to pursue the one you love. The one you love. Maybe this week you fell in love with him again. Or maybe you feel your heart is beginning to turn to love him again. That's precious. That's precious. You know, really, to enjoy the Lord is to love the Lord. You know, to believe in the Lord with your spirit is to receive Him. But to enjoy the Lord with your heart is to love Him. To love the Lord is the number one requirement to enjoying Him. Actually, loving the Lord is the top enjoyment of Him. Nothing compares to loving Him. Nothing and no one is worth losing Him. I can tell you that for a fact. That's why that song, "Lord, I Just Love You," right? It says, "In the whole universe, I have no other one." Dear young people, there's no other one like Him. Just love Him. Give yourself to love Him. No other way is so safe. If we're not loving Him, we'll be loving other things. So our dear brother Lee's word was, right? Give yourself to love the Lord. No other way is so safe, so rich, so full, so prevailing. Love Him. Oh, how I love Him, how I adore Him, my breath, my sunshine, my all in all, the great Creator became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in Him. How about we sing that song? Lord, I just love You. And there's no one like You in the whole universe. I have no other one like You, Lord Jesus. So, there's two ways we can lose our birthright. Number one is to not use it. It's to not use it, right? Where we become lazy, we're passive, and we don't eat for ourselves. We don't enjoy the Lord for ourselves, right? Like in the Old Testament, some became lazy. That's why they had to sell their land and then sell themselves. See, when you go back home, there's no more schedule. You're free. You can wear whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. Well, sort of, with your time, right? But then at that point, will you be lazy in your enjoyment of Christ? So you won't have the dear serving ones to help you to pray, read a verse. Well, hopefully they will. Hopefully they will. But a lot of times, as you're getting older, you have to learn to eat for yourself. That is to read the Bible by yourself, James. Right, you can do that. Amen. Right, Clarity? We have to eat for ourselves, to read the Bible ourselves, to spend time with the Lord ourselves. to have our own life with the Lord. See, don't be lazy in enjoying the Lord. Enjoying the Lord is not just in the meetings. It's not just in the conferences. Enjoying the Lord is every day. It's every morning. It's day by day. It's morning by morning. It's little by little. Don't despise, even just to tell the Lord, Lord Jesus, I love you. Or just to call in the Lord's name one time while you're in the midst of playing basketball. See, I know there's a lot of brothers who like to play basketball, but I wonder if during the game, instead of trash talking, if just one time you called on the Lord. See, if you didn't, then that whole game was a waste because you didn't gain the Lord in that time. And you'll never have another chance. See, Hannah, when you're playing tennis, you could say, oh, Lord, or devil, I hate you. Amen. Hallelujah. See, then you've gained the Lord. See, the manna was very small. It was very small. Don't despise small enjoyments of the Lord. Small enjoyments of the Lord. That's what will keep you. That's what will keep you. That's not to be lazy. That's not to despise, to be lazy with your birthright. You see? And then number two, you can lose your birthright by selling it for worldly things or fornication. Okay. So anyway, I think you get the point. Okay, now let me just close with this. Let me just close for dessert. This is kind of a dessert with a story, okay? And then we'll be done, okay? This is a very inspiring story to me. And it's the story of someone who actually lost his birthright. And his name in the Bible is somebody that you may not have heard of. His name was Elimelech. You know who that is? Elimelech. Anyone know who Elimelech was? Elimelech lived in the good land with his family. And his wife was... nobody knows. Naomi. Naomi. Elimelech and Naomi lived in the good land. And they lived in a city called Bethlehem, which is at near the highest peak of the good land. Elimelech and Naomi. And they had two sons named Malan and Chilion. Cool names, huh? Malan and Chilion. Okay. So they lived in Bethlehem. In other words, they lived in the church life. They lived in the enjoyment of Christ. And then something interesting happened. There was a famine in the land. God, because a lot of God's people were forsaking him, he arranged a very difficult circumstance in the good land. And so what Elimelech decided was, you know what? I'm going to sell my birthright. What good is the land? What good is the church life? I'm going through a hard time. There must be someplace better. So he left with his family. And they went down from Bethlehem to a land called Moab, a land of people that were descendants of incest, condemned by God, judged by God, and forsaken by God. And he chose to move his family there. Could you imagine? What does this mean? It means this. It means sometimes in the church life, and maybe after the SST, you're going to go through a hard time. You're going to go through a hard time. It's human life. We can't escape it. There's going to be periods of time. And at that time, the devil or this thought may arise in you. You know what? It's better out there. I hope you would never have this thought, but sometimes we have these thoughts. I wonder if it's better out there. Tired of my serving ones. Tired of the church, tired of the meetings, tired of the dress code. I'm out of here. So you know what happened? They moved to Moab and Elimelech died. He died. And their sons, Malan and Chilion, got married to two Moabitesses. one whose name was Orpah. Cool name. Orpah and Chilion. Or was it Orpah and Milan? I forget. Anyway. And then another one's name was Ruth. Ruth. Right? So Chilion and Milan took these two Moabitesses to be their wives. And then they died. Elimelech, dead. Milan, dead. Chilion, dead. Only one left, Ruth. And two Moabitesses, Orpah and Ruth. And they'd been there now for 10 years. 10 years. Well, dear saints, I hope you would never leave the dear, precious church life. But if you do, realize the door is always open to return. I hope you never would. And maybe you know some friends who aren't meeting right now. They're going through a hard time. But you need to let them know the door is wide open. It's not too late, especially while you're young. It's not too late to come back. So Ruth made a decision. Oh, you know what? You know, some of you may not know this story. You know, Brother Jim Miller has three kids. Did you know that? There's Lizzie Bolton, his oldest daughter. And then number two is Jimmy Jr., right? And number three is Andrew. Andrew is the baby. Andrew, I heard, is now 36. Okay? Andrew left the church life when he was 16 and didn't meet for 20 years. Did you know this? For 20 years. He went to his last SST as a junior and said, I'm done with the church. Well, due to some circumstances, 5 weeks ago, he made a decision. I'm coming back. Coming back to the good land. I'm coming back to the birthright. Right, those of you in San Francisco, I don't know if you've seen him. But he's back. After 20 years. 20 years. He decided to come back. Isn't that precious? Well, so Ruth, after 10 years, she decides, you know what? I've had enough of this in the world. It's time to go back. It's time to go back. My sons are dead. My husband is dead. I have nothing else to live for. But meanwhile, she must have told her two daughters-in-law, who all three of them are widows now. What do you do? Can you imagine, Caleb? What do you do? So she tells her two dear daughters-in-law, it's time to go back. You stay here. You stay here. You're from Moab. You're Moabites. And because she knew, if you come back, you don't have a right to the land. You see, I'm from the good land. I can go home to my people. But you have no place there. You have no standing. You have no right to the land. So stay here. And so both of the daughters told Ruth, oh, no. We want to go with you. She said, no. Stay. So eventually, Orpah decides, okay, I'll stay, and leaves. But Ruth, somehow something had got in. Something of the dream of the land had been put into her. She must have heard some things from Elimelech, from her husband, about this place called the good land, about this place called the church life. And she realized, I don't want to stay here either. I don't want to stay here in Moab. I'm with you. You know, sometimes the younger ones, you may not get the church life. you may not understand so much what's going on. You know what you should do? Attach yourself to some of these older ones, these college students like Joseph or Will or Michael, and tell them, you know what? I don't understand the church life, but I'm with you. Wherever you go, I'm there. Wherever you dwell, I'm there. Even if you die, I'm there. Even if you're buried there, I'm there. That's what Ruth did. I mean, that's what Ruth did. She told Naomi, and she uttered these golden words. Wherever you go, I'm with you. Wherever you go, I will go. Because she knew she was going back to life. Wherever you dwell, I'll dwell. Even though I have no birthright, even though I have no right to enjoy Christ, I'm with you. Even wherever you die. And then she uttered something very, very precious. She said, your people will be my people. And your God will be my God. See, that's the dream, Christ. Somehow she had the dream. People, God. And she made a strong decision. Even if I'm poor, even if I'm destitute, which I am, take me to your land. Take me to the church life. Take me to the good land. So Ruth took her there. Ruth took her there. So here's this widow, poor, destitute, no standing. But Ruth was burdened for her. And she Naomi was burdened for Ruth. And she kind of was a little middleman, right, to set Ruth up with this rich man named Boaz. Boaz, right? But, because she had no standing, she still was attached to this land. So they offered this land. Naomi offered this land for sale. And there was another man that could have paid the price to redeem the land and give Ruth part of the birthright. But he said, you know what? I just care for my birthright. I don't care about others' birthright. He didn't redeem the land to buy Ruth. Because Naomi, you see, when she went back, again, she had no money either, so she had to sell her land. That included Ruth. But then Boaz, who was rich, paid the price for Ruth. So that even though she had no place, no standing, she was brought in to the birthright. In other words, Boaz and Naomi fought for Ruth's birthright. Even though she was a Moabitess, a descendant of incest, condemned by God for 10 generations, they could not be among God's people. But somehow she got in. And part of it was because she herself had seen something of God and the people. But most importantly, someone fought for her. Someone fought for her. And what I'd like to close with is this, that dear young people, we need to learn to fight for one another. Don't fight against each other. You know, as young people, I know we always like to, I'm from Fremont. I only hang out with the people from Fremont. Don't hang out with anyone else. Or I'm from San Jose. That's where Google is. Or I'm from Cupertino. I'm Apple. Don't hang out with Palo Altoans. They're, you know, snooty Stanford people. Forget about them. We're Cupertino. You know, in the church, we're all one family. We should be blended. You know, I'm from Anaheim. I'm so happy that you're receiving me and letting me talk to you for over an hour. You're such a good audience. If I had to listen to me, I probably would walk out the door or fall asleep. But see, we're blending. We shouldn't have these divisions where we're fighting against one another. Oh, you're on the court. We shouldn't say, oh, someone scored on you left-handed. Or you let that person score on you. You let that old man score on you. You see? We need to fight not against each other. We need to fight for our enjoyment of Christ. You know, there's over 220 of us here, but there's many more that aren't here. Many of your friends, when you go back to school, are like Moabitesses. Will you just care for your own birthright, or will you fight for them? Or will you just be content for your own birthright? Well, if you want to fight, you need to be Boaz. You need to be rich in Christ. You see, so you have something to offer them, number one. But number two, you need to have a heart. We need to have a heart to fight for our friends. You might be your friend's only opportunity to enter the good land. Ruth's only chance to get in was Naomi. All of us need to be Naomi. By the way, you know what Naomi means? Naomi means my pleasantness. You see, your friends should have, when you're enjoying the Lord, you become very pleasant. In a sense, you become the good land to your friends. They realize you have something because they see you're at peace, you're at rest, you're happy. And they want what you have because they don't have it. So how about this, young people? Let's fight for one another. Maybe some haven't been meeting for a few years. Don't give up on them. You know, the church is not a law court or a police station. You know, dear young people, sometimes some of us, we're a little... I'm Asian too, like many of you. You know, the Asian culture can tend to be a little cold. You know, my wife is, some of you know, is Hispanic. The Hispanic culture is very, very passionate. Just last week I was in Orlando with her family. They're all very crazy and wild, you know, and they all come up to me, you know, this is me. You know, my wife's mom, she goes, "Oh, Jimmy, go! Hola, good to see you." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, good to see you too." You know, and they're, you know, we need to learn to, you know, the church life should not be cold. But you know, sometimes we're cold in what we say to one another. We make it a law court where we accuse one another of things. You know, Joseph had a dream. He realized all his brothers who tried to kill him, they're sheaves of life. They're heavenly stars. You know, everyone in here, you're a shining star. And when you criticize someone, when you condemn another saint, or shun them, you're cold towards them. The Lord says, "Why are you persecuting me? You're touching the apple of my eye." You know, the church is a hospital. It's a hospital. Let me tell you four things the church is. This is very non-religious. It's a hospital, it's a garden, it's a school, and it's a home. This is how we should be with one another. You know, in the hospitals are for those who are wounded. Sometimes we get wounded. There's a person in you that loves one another, that loves one another. Will, I like that verse. We know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers and sisters. We love the brothers. If you say, "Oh, I'm enjoying the Lord," but behind your back, you're criticizing someone. I have a big question mark as to whether that's a real enjoyment of the Lord. The true test is you can love all the brothers. The most peculiar, annoying, abrasive one. You just love him. You just love him. Right? Kevin, come here. You know, sometimes we know Kevin, right? He can be a little... But we love Kevin, right? And he should love all the brothers, right? We should love one another. Hospital, a hospital, you know, a hospital, they receive anyone. Even if you can't pay, they receive you. Right? The church is a hospital, number one. We need to go out to our friends and let them know there's a hospital where you can get care. And the church is a garden. It's a garden where we can grow together, number two. Right? And the church is a home. It's a home where we love one another. I know sometimes we fight, but then we need to learn to confess and say, brother, I'm sorry. Or sister, I'm sorry for shunning you, for being cold towards you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And fourthly, the church is what? A school. Now, school may not sound so great, but it's a school where we're being educated in the dream. So in that respect, it's a wonderful place. Okay? You got it? Hospital, garden, home, school. Let's not condemn and criticize one another. I know in the world it's like that. But in the church, you know, one of Brother Lee's last words is, love prevails. Love prevails. You want to gain your friend? Love them. You want to gain a brother and sister who has a hard heart toward the Lord? Love them. Love them. Love them with the love that you've been loved. Amen? Let's fight for our birthright. Let's use it. Let's enjoy it. And let's fight for it. Amen? Let's don't fight against each other. Fight for one another. That we would enjoy and claim our right to the full enjoyment of Christ, to being a priest and a king. Amen? Okay, so how about we pray with our neighbor? How about right now? Maybe there's a friend or someone in your family that's lost their birthright. Let's pray for them right now, just for 30 seconds. And then maybe we could have a time to overflow. Okay. So go ahead, just pray. Just tell one another, maybe someone you're burned for, and let's pray. Okay. Okay, we have some time. Can we sing a song? Are you going to make an announcement? Okay, saints, how about we do this? Let's sing a 1237 in the hymnal, Splendid Church Life. For the sake of time, let's just sing verse 1, 2, 3, and the last verse. I think it's just 5 or 6, okay? This is kind of the enjoyment of the birthright. 1237, Splendid Church Life. First three verses and the last verse. I think it's 5 or 6, right? Okay. Okay, we don't need to talk. Let's just turn to the song. And then we can take a few minutes, okay, to prophesy. To experience growing here. He is full of rich enjoyment. I'm so happy. Okay, how about sister? Okay, how about sisters on chorus? Let's. By the way, brother, you know we're not cowboys, so we don't need to say yee-haw. Let's just be happy in our enjoyment of the Lord. Okay. So sisters, you sing the chorus. Brothers, you just enjoy. Okay, enjoy. Go ahead. Brothers, sing. All the seniors sing. All the moms and dads, if you're a mom or dad.
I'm so happy, this lovely prayer.
Young people sing. Serving one thing, young people enjoy. All together, strong spirit.
So happy. Amen. Happy. Yes, Andrew, I'm happy too. Okay, so we know there's probably a response to the speaking tonight. So we would just ask one item. Some of you that are very comfortable speaking in front of us, you love to share your portion, you know, fight for that one that maybe might be a little more shy and bring them with you if they haven't spoken yet. We're not making a rule or anything, but we're asking you right now, you can fight for that one that maybe it's a little tougher for them to get up, and you know that. And you have a feeling to stand with them. Okay? So we have some time for response, and we'll see how this goes. Praise the Lord.
Different things, but now I realize that a lot of that's really just me and me being kind kind of selfish. Because then when Brother James said that, a lot of your friends, you might be the only opportunity for them to really get to the good land. So I just really want to say that. I also like the hospital example, how while the church really accepts everyone, and we just need to go in and we need to fight for not just our own, but others' birthright.
Amen.
And just like Naomi and Boaz, how they fought for Ruth, we need to be fighting for our friends.
Amen. What I really enjoyed this time, there's 2 points. First point is that in China, how like I enjoyed that, they have to read the Bible in secret. We can read it we take it as granted. We leave it on the shelf and let it get dusty, and they would read it as many chances as they can get. What I enjoyed is that every day we have to enjoy the Lord with this Bible that we get, that we can freely use it. Unlike in China, they have to do it in a hiding place. And second, I also enjoyed how like we take this birthright for granted. We can't take the birthright for granted. It's easy to lose it, and we can easily lose it to Satan and this world. We can be attracted to this world more than this birthright that we have. We have to be more interested in this birthright,
Amen.
This dream, than the world that is around us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I just enjoy when we stand song together, just in all the wonderful church life.
Amen.
I just enjoy that very much. And over this day in the SST, I also enjoy singing the song with brothers and sisters. We all sing God fell in love with me. Or some song, and another very wonderful song.
Amen.
And my point is, the church life is wonderful.
Amen.
We are so blessed that we can live in the church life. The church life is so precious. The church life is, there's no final pleasure.
Amen.
And we eat the living tree, and we drink the living water.
Amen.
We have this birthright.
Amen.
We have the double good land.
Amen.
And we are priests. We are king. Amen. It's a wonderful birthright.
Amen.
And we also have to fight for one another.
Amen.
Fight for our brothers and sisters.
Amen. I enjoy the part how we have to fight for one another instead of conflicting with each other. And yesterday I was dragged by my friend here, and I was happy because I was the one that needed help, and she brought me over because she fought for me, so I wouldn't have to side with Satan and sit down. So I encourage you guys to just come out and speak from the Spirit and be awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, I just really enjoyed this point about our birthright and how easy it is just to lose your birthright or even start thinking about losing your birthright. Oftentimes, we think of ourselves as very strong. Last SST, I thought I was very strong. I thought I wouldn't think about losing my birthright. I thought I wouldn't think about all of those things. But as the school year progressed, you know, things happen, and I would say throughout my sophomore year, I definitely was thinking about losing my birthright, but that wasn't the pinnacle. The pinnacle came this summer, right before SST, actually, just the period when summer began until SST. You see, I'm a guy who really likes to play League of Legends. Yeah, that's my confession. I really like to play League of Legends, and I'm not saying that playing video games is bad, but in moderation, it's okay, but this was my schedule throughout the day. I go to SAT class, and then from 1 to 9, I would play League of Legends. It was that bad, and it got to a point where League of Legends permeated my entire life. I would sometimes skip Friday night meetings. I would skip Saturday night meetings. I even thought about skipping the Lord's table just to play League of Legends. I remember that some brothers, they knew that I was playing League of Legends really long, and they even came to my house and told me, come outside, you know, you gotta go get some vitamin D. But even then, I refused them. I turned them away.
Christ.
Brothers and sisters, we cannot think about losing our birthright. We have to know that this birthright is very precious to us.
Amen.
That we can't lose it for something as simple as League of Legends. Like, I don't see myself playing League of Legends in 10 years, and yet I would waste myself on this game that I'm not going to have any use for. But that's the world. It captivates you so easily, you know? So brothers and sisters, we just have to pray that we won't lose our birthright.
Amen. Amen. So for the sake of time, let's keep our sharing. We got quite a few up here to about 30 seconds. All right? Exercise your spirit. Share what you enjoy. Enjoy your birthright. This is a wonderful time. Okay, so, and probably no more coming up at this point. We're very short on time. Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us a birthright. I just want to say that our birthright is very precious to us, and we cannot just lose it over things over the world. The world is just the world, and it won't be here in it won't stay, but our birthright will always be there. So, amen.
Amen.
Satan, shut up. We have the birthright. We can come forward with boldness to the throne of grace.
Amen.
Okay, so I enjoyed the part where, like Brother James said, that a church can be a hospital, school, garden, and home. Because, like, I just recently went through surgery, so I know what a hospital's like and like how busy it is and how important it is to be there. So like the fact that we can go to the church whenever we want to or whenever we feel compelled to go to the church, like that really touched me because like no matter how many times we turn away or no matter how many times we leave, we can still always come back.
Amen.
Man, I was touched on the point of how to enjoy the Lord is to love Him. You know, just this week, I've already been bitten 8 times by mosquitoes, and I'm just asking myself, why do mosquitoes love me so much? Why are they so attracted to me? But if you think about it, we're like these tiny mosquitoes and compared to God and all His greatness. But praise the Lord, He's so accepting of us. And saints, we should just be so loving and so find Him so attracting. We just need to enjoy Him.
Amen.
Like many of you have been church kids and have taken the word for granted, but since this is my first SST, I feel like that I've really touched the Lord and gained Him, and I feel like the worldly possessions don't really matter anymore.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus!
Amen. This is my fourth SST, I think, and I really was touched on the point that to really enjoy the Lord is to love the Lord.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If we weren't loving the Lord, we would be loving the world. And there's no in between. It's either you love the Lord or you don't. So I was very touched by a brother. His name is Howard Higashi. He gave out a message and he said, Lord, magnetize me today.
Amen.
Lord, if you don't magnetize me, Lord, I will turn away.
Amen.
Lord, if you don't magnetize me, oh, I can't love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, maybe we should pray that, Lord, may you just draw us closer to you every day.
Amen.
Lord, if you don't, we will love the world.
Amen.
Oh, we just want to love you.
Amen.
Oh, and come back to you.
Amen.
Oh, and gain our birthright again.
Amen.
I just love that aside from the Lord, there's really nothing in the world that can satisfy us. Like, one time I went on a shopping spree and I came back and my mom was like, don't you feel really empty? And I was like, yeah. So we just have to realize that if you want to be satisfied, we just have to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
Lord Jesus!
Amen.
I just want to share that, you know, living as a Christian, there's going to be a lot of challenges that we'll have to overcome. And on the way, there's going to be a lot of obstacles that we'll have to overcome. You know, just yesterday, my mom was sitting right there. Hi, Mom. My mom told me that she got a call from her relatives in China that my grandma was going to pass away. Praise the Lord! Here I am! In SST! Enjoying the Lord! I have the Spirit! With the Spirit, I can overcome. anything.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so I did not grow up in the church life. I got saved 3 years ago, and before I got saved, I remember my family was going through some difficult situations, and I wasn't in a very happy place, and I was going through some rough times. But then I went to school, and one of my friends, Faith and Grace, they walked to me, and they were like, "Hey, Cindy, do you want to go to the Friday night meeting with me?" And I was like, "Sure, why not?" So I went with them, and praise the Lord, he's just so enjoyable.
Amen.
Yeah.
Like to share something about the birthright and how we have to fight for each other's birthrights and not fight with each other but fight for one another.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for a birthright. You know, it's so precious, and it's so overwhelming how precious a birthright is. And you know, shut up, devil. You know, shut up, because we have a birthright and we have the right to be all these wonderful things that he said.
Lord, our birthright is just so precious. Oh Lord, we need to have a fighting heart.
Amen.
We need to fight for our birthright.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we need to fight for each other's birthrights.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this birthright. I was really touched by all the junior high sisters coming up together as companions. And even today, we are going through the groups by the grades, and the 10th graders, sisters, have like 22 sisters. And my grade, we have 6. Surely there are more than 6. 11th grade sisters in this area, right? So where are they? Like, while we're here enjoying Christ, where are they? We need to be fighting for them.
Amen.
The Lord has called us to fight for our brothers and sisters' birthrights.
Amen.
So when we look at this world from the Lord's viewpoint, we can see that our world is very disgusting and defiled. And when we go back to our homes, how are we going to feel? Are we just going to go back and just go back in the flow of the world? Because we can't. We live in a world where these defilements are glorified and people are becoming made famous, and just like, we look at them and we're like, oh man, these guys are so cool, but deep down we realize that they're not. They're really disgusting and it's not right in the eyes of the Lord. So just turn to your spirit, because this world is not for us. And we have to realize that we are for the world, the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Yeah.
So my dad and my grandma, they're both saved, but they don't come to church anymore. And I never really like paid attention to this matter, but today the brother speaking really struck me that they have lost their birthright. And they have lost their birthright, but praise the Lord that the doors are still open for them.
Amen.
And I just hope that I can fight for their birthright.
Amen.
Oh Lord, thank you for this birthright.
Amen.
Lord, thank you that we can be kings and even priests. Lord.
Amen.
Help us not to succumb to the worldly pleasures, Lord.
Amen.
Open our hearts, Lord, and open our eyes, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I enjoyed the point about how we need to fight for our brothers and sisters. So if you look around, like Zoe said, there are 22 10th grade sisters, but there are only 7 12th grade sisters. And we have grown from, you looked at the Bible camp pictures and there's like 20 of us there, but then you look at us now and how many of us are there? And so I just enjoy that we need to fight, continue fighting for the brothers, so that we don't lose our birthright, and we need to treasure this birthright.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for today. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your word. Oh Lord, open our eyes. Oh Lord, thank you for your glow. Oh Lord, you are so precious to us. Oh Lord, we want to be infused in you. Thank you.
Oftentimes we are lazy people. We have everything in Christ. We indulge in worldly things. We don't contact the Lord or touch him. We all do that for we just turn to that one meal. But praise the Lord, there's no one like you. We only have you. We need to pray to have a personal life with the Lord.
Are you brothers and sisters enjoying the SST today?
Amen.
I hope you were, because I'm very excited on the first day. I was like, wow, I want to enjoy the singing song. About the spend a church life thingy. I really like it. So I wanted to enjoy the Lord every day and every time with the young peoples. By the way, hi.
So I told myself I wouldn't cry, but my little sister's here. It's her first year. It's my last year. And Andy, I love you. We know what it's like to come from a broken family. Life has been too hard on you. And I know I failed you. And I won't fail you, but I want you to choose the church. Because you love God. And that you see the real family in front of you. They're gonna, your whole life, you're gonna be fighting this battle. And it's hard. I know it's hard. We have another little sister. And she's with her, they're unbelievers. She's with her dad. She's 2.5 years old, and I don't think she's gonna be in the church life, but you know, she deserves to be, and I hope that you can reflect a love onto her. And I ask you to be strong, and I ask you to pray for strength, because it's God didn't promise us that things would be easy. And it certainly hasn't. We came into the church through a hard time, and we went through so many hard times. And I definitely fell away. And I ask you not to fall away. And I love you. I don't say it enough, but I really do. And I think you're so wonderful. And you know, what you prophesied made me cry so much. And I hope you stay in the church, and I hope you love God. None of us deserved it, but it's there. It's there for you to take. And if you don't take this advantage now, you never know what's gonna happen. So, Andy, just keep going to church, and it'll set you free.
I really enjoyed the part where Naomi was gonna move back. And Ruth said, wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you dwell, I will dwell. Your people, my people. Your God, my God. And like how Brother James said, if like I don't understand something, or if I'm not quite sure, I can hang on to maybe one of the college brothers or my fellow companions.
Right.
So praise the Lord, we have these people with us.
Oh Lord Jesus, I just really enjoy that the doors of the church are always open. And if we leave the church, we can always come back. And God is always righteous and faithful to forgive us.
Oh, Lord, we will open to you, Lord.
Amen.
And secure our birthright, Lord. We are here for the Christ. We are here for the church, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
I also enjoyed that we can hang on to people older than us, like, my mom, she's like really stable in the church life, and then sometimes I don't want to go to church, and then so if I just keep following her, then like I won't like lose my birthright. I'll just like keep staying in the church life.
Saints, we need to enjoy the Lord in our little spare moments. If we do this, if we don't do this, we'll be filled with other things. We'll love other things. This is not what we're made for. We're made to have the Lord fit in us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, it just really struck me how we could lose our birthright for something just as small as a bowl of soup. And, like, in the world, there's just so many, like, we waste ourselves on such worthless things, and most of the time we don't even realize it. Oh, Lord Jesus, just open our eyes to see how precious you are, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, keep us seeing how precious the church life is.
Amen.
I enjoyed how precious the church life is also. Just like a hospital, you could always come to it.
Amen.
It's so accepting. The gate is always open.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for the church life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I just really enjoyed how precious our birthright is. It's really a treasure. And I've had a few companions since I've known since forever, and now they're not really actively in the church life. And it just really starts to just, like one excuse, missing a meeting, and then goes on to like a month. And say we don't talk for a year. Because, you know, I've been too busy worrying about myself to like talk to them. And I just really enjoy how we have to fight for others, because the Lord needs a body, not just individual people.
Amen.
Oh, I enjoyed how we have to fight for the brother and fight for their birthright as well. So there's a brother like Japan who likes playing League of Legends, you know, in our church. I'm not gonna say his name, but he stopped going to church, maybe because of homework or playing game, but I keep forgetting to pray for him. Well, this just reminded me to pray for him. So I kinda wanna pray for that. My church. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Teach us how to treasure our birthright.
Amen.
Help us to fight for others.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, make me who would treasure my birthright. Be my top enjoyment.
Amen. I was really touched when the brother mentioned the verse that says, "For you know that you have passed out of death into life when you love the brothers." For me, in my locality, it's so hard for me to love the brothers. Like, I know some are so infuriating, and just when the brother said that the church is a hospital, you know, my mother always told me the church is a hospital to me too, and she would always say that when I ran to her, like, "I don't want to go to church anymore. This person's annoying. That person's infuriating." Blah 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 blah. And then she'd be like, "You know what? What did you expect? Disneyland? The church is a hospital. You're sick. I'm sick. Everyone's sick. We all need the Lord."
Amen.
So just learn to enjoy the Lord together.
Amen.
Amen. The highest profession on the earth is being a priest.
Amen.
Oh, spending time with the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, being infused with the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, glowing with the Lord. Young people, may the rest of our days be enjoying this birthright. Oh, no one and nothing is worth losing our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So tonight we saw how Esau despised his birthright, and he devalued his birthright, and he even asked, "What use is it to me?" Which is like asking, what use is knowing your destiny to a temporary enjoyment? Oh, but this week our eyes have been opened, and we can see, Lord, but praise the Lord, we can fight for our birthright.
Amen.
Saints, what a wonderful birthright we have.
Amen.
Just as a
NXT, haven't we been enjoying some of this birthright?
Amen.
And now that we know that others could be enjoying this birthright, shouldn't we be wanting to fight for their birthright?
Amen.
The church life is not just about our enjoying the Lord. It's about everyone enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
We want to fight for all the brothers and sisters' birthrights.
Amen.
I really enjoy that if we want to fight for one another's birthright, we ourselves have to be the ones to use our birthright. If we don't use the birthright, we're just selling our birthright. If we don't use it, we'll lose it. And I just really appreciate that for us to use it, it's as simple as touching the Lord in the smallest things. The manna is small, and so our small enjoyment of the Lord should not be despised either. Whether we're brushing our teeth in the morning, or getting ready for school, or about to take our exam, every moment we can call on the Lord, every moment we can enjoy the Lord, every moment we can use our birthright.
Saints, I just have a burden to share with you. It's that the world has nothing for us. There's nowhere in this world that is like this place here.
Amen.
Just praise the Lord that we can enjoy Him.
Amen.
That we have the birthright.
Amen.
And that we can fight for our friends and our family's birthrights.
Amen.
And just praise the Lord.
Amen.
And so I just enjoyed a point on fighting for other people's birthright. You know, my sister and my mom, they're both saved in the church right now. But sadly, my dad, he hasn't seen his birthright yet. And I just want to come here and pray for him right now.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Always let him see the vision, Lord.
Amen.
Let him come to you.
Amen.
Let him unveil him, Lord.
Amen.
Let him see his dream.
Amen.
Oh, let him touch his heart.
Amen.
Let him shepherd him, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I really enjoyed the point on fighting for other people's birthrights. So me, Isaac, Chris, and Brother Peter over there, we're on the courts, we're volleying, and sometimes we might talk a little bit of trash to each other. We're like, oh, that three was dirty. But last night, we were really touched by the Lord. And last night, we didn't fight against each other, but we fought for each other.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I just want to treasure this point. I just want to fight for my other friend's birthright.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord Jesus, I just came back from Taiwan from like 3 or 4 years ago. And then when I went to the Lord's table on Sunday, I was waiting to see my fellow brothers happy in there, but I was disappointed to see some of my fellow brothers and sisters follow the church life. And then this message just struck me that I just need to fight for my brother's birthright.
Amen.
And Lord, I just give you this prayer.
Amen.
Lord, treasure me.
Amen.
Help me fight for my brother's and sister's birthrights.
Amen.
Help me be a vessel for you.
Amen.
Give me the courage.
Amen.
Give me the courage to fight for you.
Amen.
Okay, so I was kind of forced up here by them too. But I decided to come up here because SST is only once a year. And since I'm going to be a sophomore, I only have two more SSTs, so I might as well. And I was really,
Go ahead.
I really enjoyed it when Brother James said that the church is hospital, garden, school, and home. And I especially enjoy that, the church is a home, because, in a home,
amen.
We all love each other.
Amen.
And we all care for each other. And we're all brothers and sisters. And I just praise the Lord that love prevails.
Amen.
And praise the Lord for the church.
Amen.
Amen. Andrew, I know you want your double portion. All right, you got it. You got up there, you have to sit down now, okay, little brother? It's okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Double portion. Go ahead.
One thing I enjoyed about this SST was I realized how much sin we have. So there was one night that touched me especially. So our serving one told us to write all the times we sin. And then when I started writing, there were so many. Fill the whole page up, and then I realized, wow, you're so wretched. Amen.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You know, as humans, like our brother shared, and as not just fallen humans anymore, we're regenerated, redeemed, members of his body. We can enjoy three things. And don't forget these matters when you go back. The unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
Our double portion. One that's a priest. This isn't a small matter. If you're a priest today, you will be a priest in the next age.
Amen.
And a king. If you let the Lord rule you today, you will rule and reign with him in the next age. Three things. We can enjoy Jubilee as well, and we should enjoy Jubilee every day.
Amen.
This is not a small matter. We are in the New Testament age, the age of Jubilee. The Christian life is not a life of depression and suppression and oppression. That's what the world has for you. That's the end result. We need to fight for our birthright and for our fellow believers' birthright.
Amen.
We are part of the church of the firstborn, and this is our birthright. Remember, our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's not what we see, brothers and sisters. It's not what you see. Our prayers for one another is our fighting.
Amen.
And I'm so thankful that tonight we saw prayers answered, because we've been fighting for you. So, we have some announcements to make. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's enough. Amen. Hallelujah. Got to be practical here. So, evening announcements here. So, we're going to be a little orderly getting snacks here. All right, we'll get those in a second. I'll announce that. We're going to do the campfire till 10:30. All right, so that means lights out will be at 11. And please.